Good evening, folks. Just before Stephen and Valerie, okay, let's try that one again. There we go. Maybe I sound better with it off, actually. Just before Stephen and Valerie come and lead us in through the service, just a few quick reminders. First of all, bringing the message this evening is the Reverend Philip Campbell, who, as I said this morning, is also one of our own folk. And then, Lord willing, on Tuesday evening at 7:30, we'll meet in the hall for prayer. And we really do encourage you to come and uphold the Lord's work here in Abbot's Cross. Then, Lord willing, next Sunday, which is the 24th of July, the pastor will speak at both services. And the 11 a.m. morning service is to take the form of a family service, so the children will stay for the duration of the morning service. Now, I have a little card which I've been asked to read out. It says, to Pastor Galanders, I would like to thank the congregation, for praying for me since last September due to kidney procedures, which now, praise the Lord, I have finally gotten the stent in. Also, I would like to thank all who rang me, sent flowers, cards, came to see me. It was very much appreciated. God bless Eileen. That's Eileen Turner.
Good evening, everyone. You're very welcome in church here with us in the service, or if you're joining us online. Sometimes we forget to say that nowadays. I hope the church is warm enough for you. You're slap bang in the middle of our three-day summer, and I think by Wednesday it's going to be over. But yeah, it's been a lovely day. It's great to see you in church. Before we start, let's just have a prayer and commit our time to God. Lord, as we come into your house, Lord, to sing your praise, to worship you, and to hear from your word, Lord, we just ask at the outset of this meeting, Lord, you would just still our hearts. We've come from a busy day, Lord. Lord, there's been many things on our minds. We're at the end of a busy week. And Lord, we just pray that you would help us, Lord, to still our minds, still our hearts, and to focus on you. We pray that as we worship you, Lord, we would do so in spirit and in truth, Lord. And we just pray for Philip later in the service as he comes to share your word, Lord, that you would be with him and speak to our hearts as well. So, Lord, accept our praise, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to start with hymn 205, if you're still using a hymn book. I'm sure most of you aren't. It'll appear on the screens. It's, I serve a risen Saviour, he lives. So we'll stand to sing.
I'm that's good words to get started with. And I don't know what way you've maybe come to church. Maybe we're concentrating on how warm it is, given that the day it is, or maybe you've had a busy week, or you're going into a busy week, and so often our thoughts and our minds can be elsewhere. But even as we sing our praises to God, it's an act of worship, and he wants us to come wholeheartedly and to worship him in doing so. And the next song we're going to sing is a well-known one. It's As the Deer Pants for the Water. And during this song, you're going to remain seated, because we're also going to worship God with our offerings, and the offering's going to be lifted for the first part, and then if you stand on the final verse. Thank you.
Learn. It's called Christ, Our Hope in Life and Death. Christ, Our Hope in Life and Death. So Stephen and Valerie and I will sing the first verse and the chorus, and if there's still anybody in the church after that, then we'll sing it together. Christ, Our Hope in Life and Death. You'll get to know the song very quickly, I'm sure.
Is our hope in life and death? Christ alone, Christ alone. Is our only confidence? Our souls to Him alone.
learn, a nice song to sing, and you'll notice that it's in the form of Q&A, question and then answer, question and then answer. And the answers to the questions leave you wanting to sing hallelujah in the chorus. So I hope you'll get to do that. I should point out that the musicians will see that this song was actually put together by a team of people. Keith Getty, Jordan Coughlin, Matt Boswell, Matt Papa and Matt Merker. And I thought to myself, so many Matts, it could have come from a carpet warehouse. But anyway, just joking, Keith, honestly, just joking. But it's a lovely song, and I hope you're going to enjoy singing it. So we'll suggest you keep your seats for the first verse and chorus, and then we'll get you to stand after that. What is our hope?
Our hope in life, Christ alone, Christ alone. Is our only confidence that our souls within the God holds our days in His hands. What comes to one God is the land, and what will be.
Song, they're very uplifting, aren't they? Very reassuring to those who know the Lord as Savior. I'm going to take a short Bible reading just now from the Old Testament, from the book of Genesis and chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5.
Genesis chapter 5 is one of those chapters that you want to skip over very quickly because it's a genealogy, the first one in the Bible. There's more to Genesis 5 than meets the eye, including these verses, which you would have missed if you skipped it over too quickly. Genesis chapter 5 and from verse 21. Genesis 5 verse 21. Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God. And he was not, for God took him. Ending our reading there, the Lord will bless the reading of His words to all of our hearts. Now, Valerie and Stephen are going to lead us in another song.
The last one that we're going to sing tonight, just after we've been thinking about our hope in life and death, we're going to thank God for the cross. So thank you for the cross. I'll get you to stand just before Philip comes to share with us tonight.
To the musicians as well. I hope from time to time you you tell them how much they are appreciated, because there are some churches we go to and they don't have musical ability on tap just like that. So we're very grateful for all the musicians this evening. I'm going to turn to the Lord in prayer. Let's bow together and ask the Lord for his help and blessing. And let's remember one or two things that are especially on our hearts just now. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the privilege and opportunity of being together another Lord's Day evening. We are grateful that we can gather in the mighty name of our Savior Jesus Christ. We would not dare gather in our own name, the name of a denomination, or indeed any other name. We thank you, Father, that his is the name we worship. His is the name we respect and reverence. His is the name who will bring us safely to heaven and be the one who uses us on the way. Father, we want to come and commit to you those things which are specially upon our hearts. We pray, Lord, for our province and for our nation, and how we ask, Lord, that you will draw near and be with those who are in leadership over us. We especially pray for those who belong to you and who are in leadership in our province. And Father, we pray that you may touch their hearts and their lives. And we pray, Father, that their witness and their work may be something which is of benefit, not just to individuals within their reach, but to our entire province and even nation. We pray, Father, for all that's going on at Westminster. We know, dear Lord, that there's much debate over who's going to take over as leader of the Conservative Party. Father, we pray that you will have your way. We ask, Lord, that it might be someone who, in their minds and hearts, will want to honour God and honour his word. Father, we come to you and thank you, Lord, for the opportunities that are specially given at this time of the year to share the gospel with boys and girls and young people and others. And Father, we do pray your blessing upon all who are seeking to serve in this way. Pray, Lord, for the ongoing work of United Beach Missions. Will you remember those who will be sharing on the beaches around Ireland and also across in England and Wales too? We pray, Father, for Bible clubs. Thank you, Lord, for the open door that we have to teach boys and girls the Word of God. As we go down to Bonmore from tomorrow onwards for a week, we pray that you will come to the hearts and lives of children and help them, Father, to open up their lives to you, turning from their sin and trusting in Christ as Lord and Savior. We pray for camps also, and we ask, Lord, that there might be opportunities there for young people to consider eternal things. Father, we know that so many people can testify to having been given time to think during a camp and trusting in Christ as Savior. Lord, will you come and answer this, our prayer? We remember those who are in need this evening. We pray for those who are unwell and those, dear Father, who have suffered bereavement in recent times. Especially, Lord, do we think of Serenay and her family. And Father, we just commit them to you. And how we pray, Lord, that they will know the comfort and grace that comes from heaven itself. And Father, we pray that others might be spoken to by the life that has been taken from us, and help them to realize that it'll be our turn one day. And we pray, Lord, that we might each one be sure that we are ready by knowing the Lord as our Savior, looking forward to heaven and home. Father, we come to you and we ask, Father, that as we turn to your precious word, that you would open it up to our hearts, and Father, open up our hearts to your word. We pray, Lord, that its challenge might come with freshness to us, and Father, we might find ourselves wanting to be obedient to please our Savior, the one who loved us and who gave himself for us. We bring this our prayer in his worthy name. Amen. Now we're turning to the New Testament for another Bible reading, this time in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. If you want to know where 2 Timothy is, it's right next door to 1 Timothy. And a long way from Genesis. 2 Timothy and chapter 4.
2 Timothy and chapter 4. Paul writes like this: I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they'll not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Please keep your Bible open. It was at the age of 16 when I read these verses away on holiday with our family that my life was turned around. It was a crucial point, a turning point in my experience. Up until then, I had been considering going into a career in music. I was enthusiastic about music, still am. But then I was playing fairly well and looking forward perhaps to a career in music. But the Lord turned my direction just at this point in my experience. First five sort of leapt out of the page at me as I read 2 Timothy chapter 4. Endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist. I wasn't to do the work of a musician, but rather to do the work of an evangelist. And that led to going into full-time evangelism, itinerant evangelism, traveling evangelism, and then becoming a pastor in Coleraine for some 18 years. Now, these in 2 Timothy chapter 4, these are Paul's final words written in Scripture. And they're very, very important for that reason. There's a text that I want us to think about this evening. It's verse 7 of 2 Timothy chapter 4. It says this: I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. I fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. And the title of the message is Aiming to Finish Well. Aiming to Finish Well. Now, I'm aware of the fact that there's some people here this evening and you don't think this applies to you, because you're young and fit and miles away from any thought of the kind of departure that Paul was talking about here. Well, let's aim to finish well, whatever our age might happen to be. Here's Paul, the apostle, a missionary, a writer, and he's one who finished well. And we want to follow him, follow his example. Maybe you know just at the moment that the Open Golf Championship is coming to an end at St Andrews in Scotland. There were about 150 plus players who began, and at the end, one will be crowned champion golfer of the year. Because it's not very well to start well. You have to keep going for 4 days over 72 holes. Now, to those of you who have no interest in golf, you haven't a clue what I just said. But it's a competition that ends up with one person as the winner. Someone who presses on, someone who finishes well. So let's look at this text of Scripture that Paul has written for us in 2 Timothy 4. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have fought the good fight. Let's think of the battle that he fought. Now, not every battle and not every fight is a good fight, but there's some things, as you know, that are worth fighting for. And those are the things that we really care about.
not just for our own family, for our own children, but also as far as society is concerned. I hope you're of a mind to fight for marriage, to fight for the family, fight for the unborn child, fight for freedom to preach the gospel. I hope that you nerve yourself for such a fight. As far as Paul was concerned, what was it was good about his fight? See, right from his earliest days as a believer, he honored the Lord, and especially in the sharing and declaration of the gospel. He preached the gospel of Christ everywhere he went. And you and I can be thankful that he did, because one day the gospel of Christ arrived in Newton Abbey, and it was preached in churches here. And for some of you, it came very early in life, as it was explained to you that you were a sinner, you needed the Savior to touch your life. So Paul was fighting this good fight. And I think we need to remember that word fight is important. Never forget that being a Christian involves a battle. It does involve a fight. In Ephesians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul talks about the world and the flesh and the devil. The world, the flesh, and the devil. And this battle that Paul fought included all of those. He fought the world. And you and I fight the world today, don't we? If you're anyway keeping up with the news, you'll know that there are people who are reluctant to think of God's law, to have God's law read and expounded, and they want the gospel to be silenced. Of course, it's not anything new, is it? Do you remember those three Hebrew young men in Babylon? Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. You probably know them better as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were instructed with the rest of the country to kneel down and worship Nebuchadnezzar's image. And you can imagine them standing there while everyone else is on their faces. Maybe somebody said, come on, get up, do what everybody else is doing, you know. Don't create a fuss. And sometimes that pressure is on us today, isn't it? That we shouldn't create a fuss about spiritual things, about the Christian faith in society. And just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we need courage, don't we? We need courage to stand for what is good and right and godly. So there is the pressure from the world, but then there's the flesh. Romans chapter 7, Paul talks in this way. He says, the good that I would, I do not. The evil that I would not, that I do. There was inner battle going on within the apostle, a struggle that he had with selfish desires, sinful desires, sexual desires. But he was the one who knew that victory would be found by faith in Christ. Don't know if you know anything about Augustine. Augustine had a rather colorful life, as some would say, but he sinned in many different ways and became notorious for the man that he was. And one day, apparently, Augustine was walking down the street. And across the street, there was a lady who previously had been in his company, one who had drawn him away from the straight and narrow, someone who had tempted him into sexual sin. And she called across, she said, Augustine, Augustine, it is I. Augustine kept his head down and said, yes, but it is not I. He was different from the man he was when he was with that woman. The flesh is something that we wrestle with, and Paul was no stranger to it. The world, the flesh, and then the devil. Paul talks about those who are ignorant of the devil's devices. He said he wasn't, but some Christian believers are. You know, they don't know what the devil is up to. They don't realize that the devil is the one who controls the world system. He's the one who entices the flesh, and he opposes the truth and the spread of the gospel. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, we were wanting to come to you, but Satan hindered us. Satan hindered us. And Satan hinders your life and mine as a Christian, doesn't he? My, you didn't think much about the work of the devil until you became a Christian, and then you discovered that there was someone who opposed all you wanted to do, which was good and right and godly. How can we win victory over the devil? Well, I love to remind people what happened to me back in many years ago. I was crossing over Birkenhead Park from where I was studying, and one of the things that people did in Birkenhead Park with you is to walk their dogs. And I remember seeing a man with a little dog. I think it was a dog. It had a head and a tail and a leg at each corner. And that little, tiny little dog, and it was running about doing doggy type things. And then all of a sudden, it came under the notice of a huge monster of a dog who came over and began sniffing around it. And I had to smile at what happened next, because the little dog, who obviously didn't welcome this attention, it turned on its heel, it ran, and it jumped into the arms of its master. And I thought about that and thought, yeah. Whenever the devil comes around me trying to tempt me, trick me, trap me, to drag me down, he's too strong for me. What do? I turn and I run to my master. There's a little girl who said whenever the devil came knocking, she sent Jesus to answer the door. Isn't that a lovely thought? Yes, Paul was in that battle. It was a battle he fought against the world and the flesh and the devil. But he said, I've fought the good fight. Then secondly, he says, I've finished my course. I have finished the race. This is the plan that he followed. The plan he followed. He says, I have finished my course. And here's the image of an athlete competing in a race. And you'll know that Paul used this image a number of times in his writings. And following the Lord's plan for your life is a bit like competing in a race. There certainly are at least three things that you need. First of all, you need preparation. Preparation. Anything that is worth doing will need preparation. During the time that we were up there in Coleraine, coming into the month of May, there was already preparation being made for the big motorbike race, the Northwest 200. It took weeks to prepare. Put up the fences and all of the padding and painting the curbs, etc. You know, it took weeks. When the best golfers in the world came to Portrush a few years ago for the Open Championship, it took months to prepare for that. Really it did. Months. And if people are wanting to compete in the Olympic Games or the World Championships that are on at the moment, it takes them years of preparation. And if you and I are going to make a mark for the Lord, we need to exercise spiritual discipline to make sure that we meet with the Lord. We get into his word. We discipline ourselves to avoid those things which would be harmful to us. If we're going to finish the race, we need to set aside anything which would be a hindrance. Yes, there's preparation, and then there's competition. Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, he talks about an athlete competing according to the rules. So we need to stay within the rules as far as God has laid them down. Some people are maybe embarrassed about the fact that we want people to keep to what God says in his word. But that's the way to go. That's the way to go if we want to finish well, if we want to go on in our godly life and make an impact for the Savior. Preparation, competition, resolution. Resolution. When you start the race, you've got to keep on going. You keep going to the finish. Back in Athens 2004, Paula Radcliffe was running the marathon, an excellent athlete and a distance runner. But whatever went wrong, she couldn't make it to the finish line. And she broke down in exhaustion and in tears at the failure in that race. You got to keep going.
There's some things that you need to make sure that you do to keep going in the race. You see, it's been my observation, and it gives me sadness every time I think about it, that there are those who started in the Christian walk, but they're not around anymore. There are some who began well in Christian service, but we don't see them any longer. Somehow the enemy has trapped them. Somehow he has dragged them down. Somehow he has stalled their walk. We need to keep on going. It takes determination. As Sidlow Baxter said when he was teaching about prayer, he says, the thing about prayer is that you need to stick at it, and stick at it, and stick at it, and then stick at it. It takes that kind of single-mindedness. But we're not on our own. A few years ago, there was a race where there were children taking part in Special Olympics. And once the gun had been fired, and off they went in the sprint race. And as they reached a corner, one of them fell over. And when one of them fell over, all of the rest of them stopped. And they went over to help him back to his feet. And then he headed on to the finishing line. Do you know something, folks? Some of us have the idea that we can make it on our own. We can't. We can't. And God never intended that we should. That's why we have the fellowship of the church. In order that we can share with one another and support one another and press on whenever things are hard and difficult. Remember interviewing Werner Wright, Professor Werner Wright, some years ago after he'd been diagnosed with terminal cancer. And I heard that somebody had said to him, "If you, Werner, are you going to slow down now? Are you going to cut back, hold back a bit, now that this diagnosis has been given?" He said, "Brother, when you see the finishing tape, you run harder. You run harder." Werner had the right idea. I have finished my course. I pray that you'll keep going in the Christian race. The battle he fought, the plan he followed. And then thirdly, the faith he kept. "I have kept the faith," he says. "I have kept the faith. I've fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." I don't know if you ever look at our coins in your pocket or in your purse. And you'll see on those coins, on the same side as the Queen's head is, a couple of, it's abbreviations really, FIDDEF, F-I-D-D-E-F. It stands for Fidei Defensor, Defender of the Faith, Defender of the Faith. The Queen committed herself to be Defender of the Faith whenever she became the Queen and took her coronation vows at Westminster Abbey. Defender of the Faith. Now, the suggestion has been that whenever Charles comes to the throne, that will change. No longer will the monarch be the defender of the faith, but rather defender of faith. That there will be a spiritual emphasis, but it won't be restricted to the Christian faith. Well, as far as Paul was concerned, in spite of pressure and opposition, Paul held fast to the faith. And I believe, folks, we need to do that as well. In recent times, there's been the suggestion that RE lessons in our schools should not be wholly or mainly Christian. Now, I hope you're concerned about that, because I am. Because the fact is that if we introduce multi-faith and several faiths are taught within our schools, it's a recipe for confusion for our children. You need to be praying about that. Those of you who are parents, you need to be taking action on that. It's interesting that this particular measure is being pushed by those who have no religion at all.
but nevertheless, they don't like the Christian religion being taught on its own, and they're going to push for multi-faith. You need to be praying about that, folks. Paul was certainly one who knew opposition. There were those who ridiculed him, those who imprisoned him, those who belittled him, those who attacked him, those who debated him, those who abused him. But you know something? He kept on going anyway. He kept going anyway. He kept sticking at it, as Sidlow Baxter would have it. I know that there's times when you do not feel like getting up in the morning to read your Bible and talk to the Lord in prayer. There may be Sundays that you don't feel like coming to church. There might be times you don't feel like sharing the gospel with any of your friends or your colleagues. You don't feel like it. Folks, let's make it absolutely clear. He is worthy whether we feel like it or not. He's worthy whether we feel like it or not. And let's make sure that we press on toward the finishing tape. That's why Paul was able to say, I've fought the good fight. I've finished the course. I've finished the race. I have kept the faith. He kept on going. And I hope that's going to be your testimony and your determination today. A number of years ago, we went away on a holiday to Scotland. And it was an unusual and lovely holiday because at that time we were able to take both our sets of parents with us, Sammy and Annie and Billy and May. And we went across to Scotland and we enjoyed a coach tour to different places. We saw the Edinburgh Tattoo one evening. It's a show that's well worth seeing. We saw the Royal Yacht Britannia. Her Majesty wasn't there at the time, but nevertheless, we had a tour of the Royal Yacht Britannia. And also we went to St. Andrews. St. Andrews. Now, St. Andrews is famous for a number of reasons. It's famous for the place that William and Kate went and studied, and then they found friendship and love with one another. It's also the home of golf, which is why this weekend's Open Championship is so special. It was quite something to be there on the course at St. Andrews. I have to tell you, the whole time we were there, it rained. Yeah. I suppose that's Scotland for you. So there we were, and we enjoyed the trip in St. Andrews. But in St. Andrews, not far away from the golf course, you go to a particular place and you'll see in the ground two initials engraved. The initials G.W. G.W. Those initials stand for George Wishart. George Wishart. George Wishart was a Protestant preacher who was pursued by a cardinal who was objecting to the heresy that he was preaching. And he kept ahead of him. George Wishart kept ahead of him most of the time. Even at one point had John Knox as a bodyguard for him. But George Wishart said to John Knox, whenever he offered to sacrifice himself along with him, he said, listen, it's better to sacrifice one rather than both. And George Wishart was captured, he was tried, and he was burned at the stake. And the place is marked by G.W. on the pavement. George Wishart was 33 years of age. I have already had twice the number of years that he had. We don't know how our race is going to end. We don't know what the day of our death will be. But I want to make sure that I press on and finish well. I hope that's your determination as well. George Wishart finished well before the Lord. His life was cut short, but his influence goes on, along with other martyrs who gave their lives in the cause of Christ. I fought the good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. Is that your determination too? Let's bow together as we pray. Our Father in heaven, we want to thank you for the life of the Apostle Paul and for his writings and for the challenge that comes so often through what he passed down through the ages. And Lord, we do pray that we may have a determination, those of us who love and follow Jesus Christ, to keep going. Help us, dear Lord, to press on so that we might fight the good fight to the end, to finish the race, and to keep the faith, knowing that one day there will be laid up for us the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will grant us at that day, and not to us only, but to all of those who love his appearing. So, Father, challenge our hearts, impact our lives, so, Lord, that we might be used by you to help others to find the Savior for themselves. We bring our prayer with thanksgiving in the worthy name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Stephen and Valerie are going to lead us in a final song.
Our closing hymn tonight is number 425. If you're using the book, it's "I Do Not Know What Lies Ahead, The Way I Cannot See." We'll stand to sing.
Oh,
face a new week with all of its uncertainty, Lord, we thank you that you've been there before us. We thank you we can trust you to the end. And Lord, we pray that you would help us as we run our race this week. We pray that you would help us to run as if we want to win the prize, Lord. We pray that we would be focused on the finish line. And Lord, we pray that we would serve you well. So Lord, be with us as we part. Take us home safely, Lord, and go ahead of us into this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.